Hello and good morning. Dr. Gene Mesko here with Mostly Hairless Apes. I want to talk about chaos today. Chaos in order. Oh, I don't know if you recognize that theme music. That was one of my favorite things growing up. That was the old sitcom Get Smart, which was a spoof of all the James Bond movies going on in the 60s. Brilliant work done by Mel Brooks and Buck Henry. It was a beautiful thing. Maxwell Smart, Secret Agent 86 of Control, was our hero in that show. And he was a fumbling, bumbling fool. But somehow he managed to win the day. No matter what villain or obstacle stood in his path. Now, he had a lot of help, obviously. He had his long-suffering boss, the Chief. And he had Agent 99, who eventually becomes Mrs. Smart. But she was way more competent than Max. Everybody was more competent than Max, but Max had a unflailing enthusiasm for the work. He was convinced that he could do the job better than anybody. And that's what made Get Smart such a great show. It was this ability, and it captured the American spirit of the 60s on one level. It was the optimism, the amazing optimism. In the 1960s, when I was born, you have to appreciate what was going on in the world. The Cold War was in full bloom. I mean, we'd ended up World War II, the U.S. had ended up after World War II, sitting on top of the pile for Western civilization. Europe had been decimated after World War II, and the U.S. had ended up cranking up factories to be the armory of Western Europe. And we knocked out the Nazis and won an amazing ethical victory over fascism. And democracy won the day. Colonialism was winding down. The European empires were crumbling. And we picked up the baton. And we took on the Soviets. And it became this big issue with democracy versus communism. And it always bugged me growing up. One thing I didn't understand, because I've always enjoyed maps. And you'd read the maps about the world in the 60s and the 70s. And the Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact, who opposed NATO and the Western allies, were referred to themselves as democratic. East Germany was the German Democratic Republic. Lots of democracies. And the spirit of communism was initially a democratic movement. Now, it evolved into autocracy, culminating in people like Vladimir Putin today, which is still going on. Because as the Russians and other people throughout the empires, from the old colonial empires of Europe in the 1900s, because that's what started the whole World War I, the whole horrible tumult of the 20th century, was really an evolutionary transition away from aristocratic autocracies to democracy. And England started the trend. Slavery went away in the 1800s, technically. And different empires started to give up their territories. And through the 1900s, India broke away from after World War II. Israel got its own state. Everyone felt guilty about the Holocaust with good cause. And we're sitting in the 60s, and I'm a school kid, and I'm trying to learn about the world. And the Soviet Union is going on, and James Bond is saving the world. And then Get Smart comes along. And Get Smart pokes a stick at American society. And the nemesis for control, Maxwell Smart's secret agency, was Chaos, spelled with a K, who had incompetent boobs in charge of it, comparable to Max, which is why Max was able to win the encounters. But they played up the spy game, which was the Cold War. And so I spent the first half of my life dealing with the Cold War. I mean, the Cold War came apart at the end of the 80s. But what was that really a transition? As I've worked on my evolutionary model here for civilization. And I would disagree that if somebody said, oh, it was communism versus democracy. Because communism, the communist states really shifted away from democracy. They didn't really engage in democracy because they had achieved power. And the only model they had were the empires. And they made the mistake of limiting their opposition. Not that the two-party system in the States has its own issues, but when you only have a one-party system, which is what the communist nations ended up building up, it ended up just reverting back to autocracy. I mean, they weren't inherited nobles through aristocratic families, but they were just whoever sucked up to the party bosses and got to be in charge of stuff. And they got the better positions and resources, and it just became another autocracy and dictatorship in a lot of the communist nations. But the real battle, actually, of the Cold War wasn't really democracy. It was those autocratic governments versus with centralized economic control. Where the communist nations screwed up royally was not appreciating the power and efficiency of capitalism as an economic system. So, just to review, so my evolutionary model for civilization involves three major traits. We talked about belief systems, talked about economies, and talked about governments. And the belief system informs the economy and the government because the belief system says, what's that? And I'm looking on mathematically calculating these values, and I realize the issue with belief system falls along the axis of order versus chaos. Which is what made me think of control and chaos from the Maxwell Smart show, from Get Smart. Because what is chaos? Chaos is anarchy in the sense of everybody does their own thing in the traditional sense. And control is all about order, maintaining regulated information. And so when you look at the belief system, what do they say about power and deity and how we should behave as humans? Because I'm trying to build a model for civilization. And the belief system basically says, how much should I respect authority? How much should I question authority? How independent should I be? And at one extreme end would be total dictatorship, absolute theocracy. You have to do everything these powerful individuals say, whether they're informed by a mystical deity, or the power of armed forces and militarized police. That would be the extreme end of the belief system spectrum to say how we should organize society. The other end would be absolute freedom, and everybody does whatever they want, and obviously most of us are looking for something in the middle. And that was the conflict that generated the Cold War, was saying how much control should society have? Because we threw out the aristocrats in the 20th century, and what were we left with? Well, we were left with democratic governments and capitalist economies. Because the Cold War was won when we outspent the Soviets. That's all that happened there. That was an economic battle more than anything else. It was ideological about who should be in charge. But the communists, for the most part, at least paid lip service to the idea that, oh, we're a democracy. We don't have autocrats. And in the West, we said, well, we have freedom. And because we have freedom, people can do whatever they want in the economy. And that actually allowed for more growth. That allowed for more economic growth. And that's the big difference there. Because the economy in this model for civilization is how do we distribute resources? And efficiency counts. And when you talk about a capitalist economy, it's more responsive to markets. Whatever people want, people are going to sell. Somebody's going to sell it. And that's where we get into the issues of control. Because when people want to sell things like drugs and guns, we say, well, wait a minute. Maybe we shouldn't sell everything. But that's the idea of capitalism. It's more efficient because if you try to minimize regulation, the cash is going to flow to whatever people want. But now, what was going on in the communist countries back then? Well, they were doing a centralized. They said, we have to do planning. And they would turn out their five-year plans in China and then so the Soviet Union, and they'd turn out these centralized and said, oh, we need X number of tractors. And they didn't allow the market to respond. They didn't allow individuals to make choices. They held power modeled on their old aristocratic rulers. And those rule and that system broke down. That system broke down and lost when we had to compete with distributing resources for military. And that's really what the Cold War was. We ended up with that proxy wars through Vietnam and in Africa and in Southeast Asia and in Afghanistan. And the Soviet Union got spent under the table. Whatever else Ronnie Reagan did in the 80s, the way the West beat communism was we spent them under the table. We spent so much money on the space race and on the military that they had to keep up. And when they were doing that with their inefficient centralized economy, who got shortchanged were all the poor suckers down at the bottom end of the spectrum, the proletariat, the people down at the bottom. Because they didn't have a voice, because with the one-party systems, the democracy was a sham in those nations. And so they collapsed. And what did they revert to? Well, back in the 90s then, which is when the Berlin Wall, right at the end of the 80s, 89, November of 89 is when the Berlin Wall came down. And over the last 30 plus years, what have we had in what were the old communist nations? They've shifted to capitalist economies. They've said, oh, we're going to do market economies. We're going to allow the individuals to determine what needs to be bought, and obviously with some limits, just like in the West. But they allowed the chaos of the market. And that's really what you get with chaos. The chaos of the market says people are going to buy what they want. How much should we control them? And now we shift back to belief systems. And this is one of the big things that I think changed. Because one of the big things that happened in America is we ended up attaching a theocracy to the system. We tried to fold in a belief system. Because one of the things that the Soviets tried and the Chinese is they phased out the theology part of society. They said, we're going to go, there isn't a church, there's no sanctioned religions. And you can do that, but we're not going to give any cachet, any credit to having belief systems of gods. Because you can't prove that a god exists based on the experiences we've had after World War II. You have to appreciate in Russia how many millions of people died. And horrible the life was under those rulers, and say, we don't want any of that again. And they tried to get the centralized economy going, but it lost out to capitalism. And so what was left standing in the 90s, as Clinton, as Bush, the first Bush presidency, Clinton eventually came to power, is we shifted away from the Cold War, when the Soviet Union collapsed, we said, oh, everybody's going to do market economies. All right, so democracy. So now the only issue is, how do we balance democracy and capitalism? Because the West won the Cold War. The issue shifted away from this options of different types of economic systems and different types of governments, whether we should have autocrats or democracy. Everybody said, oh, democracy should be what we have, and capitalism should be what we have. But here's the problem. Just like the centralized economies were less efficient than market economies, in terms of organizing society, capitalism is way more efficient than democracy. Democracy requires everyone, as many people as possible, depending on the scale of your democracy, to have a say. And that takes time. And it clutters up the communication systems. And things get passed very slowly. Things get agreed on very slowly, but markets are still operating. And there, people have to eat. People have to want to entertain themselves. People want to do whatever they want to do. And by saying we have freedom and democracy and having markets, capitalism has become our dominant social system. It's become unbalanced relative to democracy. And what we've spiraled off into in the Americas is a market system that says, let everybody play and sell whatever they want. While democracy has gotten strangled on the chokehold of trying to listen to everybody. And that's the essence of part of the left versus the right now in America. The chaos is present on the left because they say, oh, we have to listen to everybody. And they get caught up with the snowflake problem that the right yells about. That everybody's whining, everybody complains, we have to take care of everybody. And that becomes very difficult. You have to appreciate the limitations of any system. But the way the right avoids that, the way the right avoids acknowledging any limits, is they've pulled in theocracy again. They've pulled in an ultimate ruler. They claim Jesus is Lord. And by capitalizing Jesus, and I mean capitalizing Jesus, really as a market force. And what's happened with everything being monetized on the right side of the aisle, people say, well, we have to spend money on it. There was a news article here in Tennessee the other day, right near where I live, that they're not going to accept federal dollars for summer subsidies. So the feds offered cash for school lunch programs. And the kids who have summer school, who are usually lower socioeconomic part of the system, were going to have meals supplied. But the Tennessee politicians said, no, we don't do welfare. And so welfare is this idea of socialism, of communism, of taking care of everybody that's supposed to go through the government. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to leave it up to individuals to help each other. And that's where they brought in the theocracy. They said, oh, we'll let charities do it. We'll let religions do it. But the problem with that is there's no regulation. There's no ability. Those people are starting from a deficit. And how do they dig themselves out of a hole? And the bottom line is the people on the right said, most of them, the leadership says, we don't care. We don't give a crap how they dig themselves out of a hole. There's a market economy. They should go out and work. And the fallacy of the system right now is that there's this whole mechanism of equal opportunity. While there are people who start out with huge amount of resources and act like, oh, you can do this too. And that's where we get to the orange parasite. He's ridden a wave, and I think what the left misses about the incoming administration, if you want to call it that, whatever it's going to be, is that he doesn't care about any of the rules. He says, we're going to go total free market. Everything's for sale. And I think the left needs to embrace that concept. You have to embrace the chaos of a total free market system. Because what would happen if you just said, all right, we're going to monetize everything about resources and leave the social system totally and minimize the social system? Because that's where we're headed. I mean, right now we're on a spectrum and we just have to see how far it runs before people rebel again. Because the belief system says we want freedom, we want democracy, we want chaos. We want everybody to make their own free choices. And we're going to cut the subsidies to try to help people who start out life with a deficit. Oh, you're black and you've descended from slaves and you don't have any familial inheritance or generational wealth. Well, we're going to have sports in the economy, and black people were selected for physical labor, so they're good at sports, so they can earn money that way and distribute money among African-American communities, and they can take care of themselves. Oh, you have got psychological problems? We don't really care. That's your family to sort out. If you think you're bi or trans or gay, we're not going to worry about that because that's your choice, and you made that freedom of choice, and you've chosen that. And obviously there are fallacies in all of those statements. But the right just says, we're going to embrace this chaos and allow the market to sort it out. And you know, along with whatever religious God is, because that's the only authority that they've supposedly recognized. You've monetized Jesus, and you say, we believe in Christian more as an arm badge, more as a uniform patch. Where Christianity, which we says, oh, we're going to be nice to people up to the point that we like them, but we're also going to run this market economy and let it be as efficient as it can, and we're going to sell everything. And you have to figure out how to jump in and make a living and survive in America. That's what the right is saying. And the left is saying, well, wait a minute. We have this democratic government. We should vote on some things. And the right says, no, the hell with it. Just get rid of it. So what would happen if the left in this country, in the U.S., said, hey, let's embrace the chaos. Let's stop. And it's going to suck for a while. Because if you've got the right side of the aisle here, the conservatives, the Republicans, the MAGAs, the Red Hat Brigade, whatever you want to call them, if they're making the rules are going to be minimized in terms of support, of terms of the government doing anything productive. They're going to say, we're going to let the market determine as much as possible. And if you're going to do that, now you have to say, well, what do we really want? And the real problem with the market, it is more efficient. It's going to put more goods into the hands of individuals because everybody's going to be able to grab up what they can. One of my favorite fallacies of in that mindset is, or it's, I guess it's a hypocrisy, because we say, oh, how do a bunch of poor people make money? Well, they deal drugs. Well, on one sense, they're being marvelous capitalists. They've latched onto a market that people want. A lot of people want drugs, and we don't want to get into the issue of why people want drugs. We'll get to there next, but it's a market. If you're going to embrace capitalism and say everything's for sale, well, then let them sell drugs. You know, and what's going to happen with that? People go, oh, well, people are going to get sick. You're right, people are going to get sick. But what's the alternative? To do what the incoming administration wants is minimize the FDA and so that companies can sell drugs? They're not going to self-regulate. Markets are going to be markets. Markets shift toward the lowest common denominator. And whatever people can sell, they're going to sell to make a profit at. Because if you glorify profit and you put no limits on profit, then that's what taxation is, really. Taxation is a way to say, hey, we're going to take some of the profit that you've made in these economic markets and we're going to channel it back into social needs. Because that's the inefficiency of democracy. It's taking a longer-term perspective versus a shorter-term perspective that capitalism has. So the time function is the big variable here. Inefficiency really is related to how quickly can things get done. And that's what happens with the democracy versus capitalism conflict that we're in right now. The Western powers have come to dominate the planet, and they've promoted a belief system that says capitalism is in charge and democracy is secondary. Yeah, you can talk about stuff, and if you raise enough of a stink, if you can get enough people, if you can get a significant enough voting block, you can get something to happen. That's why over the last 20 years, and what the Democrats haven't realized in America and the Republicans have, if you're going to have the government by majority rule, all we need to do is get 51%. If we can get 51% on something, we can drive through any sort of political issue. And that's where we've been reduced to this electoral college nightmare that we have. And any voting system, if we can get a majority of people to say, this is how it should be, then that's the rules that are going to get put in place. And then you turn it over to the market in between elections, in between voting on anything, and say, well, how's it going for you? Because if you can get those short-term gains, and here's my prediction then, because this is where it's going to break down. Because the market says, build whatever you want. Fuck zoning. The hell with all of those things. Let's take a look at the wildfires right now in Southern California. Southern California is a natural desert. From a biological perspective, it's a freaking natural desert. The movie industry started in New York, where all the economic power was 100 years ago. But guess what? The Northeast is a temperate climate. It has four seasons. It has precipitation on a regular basis, which made shooting movies more challenging. You couldn't just go outside and shoot all the time. But if you went out to L.A., to Southern California, it was dry and warm most of the time. We could shoot all the time. We could shoot as many westerns as we want when they started the movie industry. and we can go to the beach when we're done. So what happened? L.A. evolved as this structure of the entertainment industry, which is feeding the circuses to the masses. The bread's coming from those other places, whatever dribbles down through these capitalist market systems to the proletariat. And the rich people accumulated out in Southern California, and they steered water from other places. And they said, we're going to build rich houses up in the hills and grow trees around them and not let them burn off on a regular basis like they would have in a natural environment. And subsequently, what do we have? We have a dry climate with lots of overgrowth that gets a spark every now and then, and we get these wildfires burning million-dollar homes. Gee, who could have expected that to happen? And it's no different than the floodplains in Houston, where people have said, well, Houston's a boom industry. We've got oil. We've got the space program. We're throwing lots of money at this markets. And people want to live there and work there. There's jobs there. Well, let's build more homes. Oh, that used to be a floodplain. Doesn't matter. What, 500-year, 100-year flood? Well, as we've altered the environment and those floodplains become flooded, houses get ruined, markets get ruined. But it doesn't matter. It's the people at the low end of the spectrum who suffer. And that's where we are right now. Because when you monetize everything and you let capitalism make the rules, and you let the rich people get on top of the heap like we have right now with the orange parasite and Ilania, his mate. They make rules that favor rich people, accumulation of more wealth. And there's no limit on it. They've neutered the government, so there's no way to tax them or to control how they distribute and hide away resources in international tax shelters like Panama and the Seychelles and the Caymans. So you have all these rich people making the rules, and all we've done now is build up an aristocracy again. The communist takeovers, when they threw out the aristocrats, they tried to make it so that people had a say, but they didn't have multiple parties. They went with a one-party system to try to control power, and they ended up generating this power again. So maybe that's the natural state. Maybe that's what we've selected for. Maybe we all humans can do is have a leader and tell them what to do, and the majority of people can't think for themselves. But I think potentially you could have people think for themselves, that because that's really what you need in a democracy. Democracy is the at the opposite end of the spectrum, because autocracy leads to more order by having people being told what to do, and the chaos of the market is going to be equated to freedom. But here's the problem: we have to put limits on it. We have to put limits on markets, we have to put limits on capitalists in order to have people have a say. Because we're going to hit an inflection point here. We're going to have to make a decision again down the road. Because what's going to happen as the climate deteriorates, as the resources deteriorate with pollution and available living spaces, and we keep producing more and more people so that we can keep prices down in terms of labor. And life's going to get crappier for more and more people. Until it breaks, and then we'll have to see how much the aristocrats allow, and when the police forces come in. Should be interesting to watch. This is Dr. Gene Mesko signing off from Mostly Hairless Apes, and we'll see how much chaos lies in our future.